Good afternoon. First time for y'all. I don't think y'all have ever had an afternoon service. Before I came here, I was used to that. That's what we did back at Cannons Expressway, where I'm from in Missouri, Springfield. But I think it's a good idea myself. Just let us know if you like it. Whether we do it in the evening or whether we do it in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. We're worshiping God either way. So, and we have the rest of the daylight after this. So I like it myself, but, you know, just let us know how you feel about it after this. So anyways, let's get on to the lesson. Tonight we're going to be talking about Psalm 77. Last week we were on Psalm 146, and I thought another interesting psalm we could go over was Psalm 77. I won't go too long on this so that we can get kind of adjusted to this new way. I'll make this lesson a little bit shorter, but Psalm 77. We'll talk about this one a little bit. I will give you a little bit of information that you might even want to write down if you want to, but a lot of these psalms, they have background information to them. So we kind of just read the psalms for, you know, the praises and the, you know, sometimes the sorrow that's in them and the feeling and the emotion. But there really is background to it. There's real people that are going through certain things that these psalms relate to. And this psalm specifically, in Psalm 77, if you see there in the caption, says to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. That actually is original Hebrew. So whenever you see your text showing that caption over the psalms like that, that's actually original Hebrew text. That's actually a real header, a real Hebrew header in the psalms. So a neat little bit of information there. The way you could title this psalm is God's providential guidance of His people. That even in times of distress, times we don't understand what's going on or what will happen in the future for us, we know that God is there for us. So we should know that God is there for us. That God will help us in whatever way we need. We may not understand how He will, but still He'll help us. We know that, of course, the whole Godhead, as we've talked about before, is working together for us and for our salvation and to help us in time of need. The writer here is Asaph. Asaph. He's mentioned literally as the owner of this psalm. There, he's mentioned also in 2 Chronicles 29:30. So, neat little bits of information. Him and David the king, they were both skilled singers. So, Asaph was also a writer of many of the psalms that you'll see throughout the book of Psalms. So, I'd actually like to have a study on Psalms at some point. I mean, it'd be a neat little study. It might take a little bit of time, but we don't have to go over, you know, every verse, but it'd be something neat. The recipient is Jeduthun, the chief musician. Jeduthun's one of the three masters of music appointed in by David in 1 Chronicles 16:41 through 42. So just some little neat bits of information I thought before we get right into it. It's not known when the occasion was, but the date, it's likely during the reign of David. So likely during the reign of David is when this psalm was made. Now as we move through this text, Psalm 77, it's going to say the word Selah quite a bit. That word, we don't really know what that word means, but it is used 71 times in the book of Psalms, 71 times. And it could mean a word like forever, it could mean that, or it could just be a simple break in the psalm. That could be all it is. So whenever you see that word Selah, we don't really know what it is. That, you know, it's not really known for sure, but it could just be instruction for a break in the singing of the psalm. Now the first verses here, let's read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 77, 1 through 6. Distress. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. You ever been in a time where you just almost refuse to be comforted? You ever been in a time in your life where you are just so distressed or you're so in pain where any type of comfort, any type of person maybe reaching out and trying to help you, you don't want it. You push it away. I'm sure we've all had times like that. I've had times like that where people try to help me and I push them away. I don't want the help. I'm so much, you know, I'm so caught up in my distress. I'm feeling maybe even like I deserve it. Maybe even after we might commit a sin or something like that, we might feel like we don't deserve comfort or something like that. But here in verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. But however, his soul refused to be comforted. So he's just going through a really hard time. Keep in mind, this is a real person that's going through some time. We don't know what that time is specifically. But a way we can apply it for us as Christians is that God helps us in times of trouble. God helps us in all times when we're overwhelmed, when we're going through different types of distresses in life. Romans 8, 26 to 27 is a great set of verses that we should all know. I'm going to read them for you real quick. Romans 8, 26 to 27. I love this little bit of verses, Romans 8, 26 to 28 specifically, but it says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, that is the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, really to tell us that all the Godhead is working on our side, is working for us, is working to try to get us to heaven, is working to try to help us even in times of need. Now, He's also looking upon history. He's searching for God. He's searching for God throughout the Scriptures. Have you ever opened up the Bible just to, you know, in times of trouble, you just open up the Scriptures and you read times past, maybe examples. You read, maybe you go to David, maybe you go to Moses, or maybe you go back to Abraham. You start reading about Joseph. You read about Adam and Eve all the way back then. You read about creation. And these accounts, they comfort you. You're going to these places. You're going to these places in the Scriptures so you can be comforted, so you can be, you know, closer to God. Do we ever do that at times? I've done that at times. Whenever I feel alone, feel really, really lonely, I open up my Bible and I look at all the Scriptures. I look at what Paul went through. I look at what Peter went through. I look at what all those apostles did. I look in the book of Acts. I look at what Jesus did. And it just comforts me. I feel closer to God because there's power in the Word, obviously, but I feel closer to God. So that's what he's doing here. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. So when you're in distress, take advantage of the Word of God. Take advantage of that Bible that sits next to your nightstand every single night. Take advantage of having God that close to you. He is close to you. But you'll understand that He's already given you everything He wants you to know. So this life is hard, but this is not just here for what you need to do to be saved. It's also here for encouragement. All these things of old, all these Old Testament Scriptures, those are all examples of faith, examples of happiness, with God's help, to show you that there are better things awaiting you after this life, but also in this life. God takes care of you. He took care of His saints in the Old Testament. He's going to take care of the saints in the New Testament. God always takes care of His people. That's why those Old Testament examples are there. Also, for your encouragement. So when you're in those times of distress, times of dealing with family, times of dealing with loss, go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Word of God and be comforted by those things. And understand as well that the Godhead is working together for you to help you to be saved. To help you to not just be saved, but also be comforted in a time of need. So beautiful things we can talk about. We read Hebrews 11, 30 through 40 today, so I won't go over it again. It looks like we got the same set of people. But remember how it was talking about all those different examples of faith, like Samson and Jephthah and all those, how some were sawn in two for their faith. Hebrews 11, 30 through 40, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Hebrews 11, I believe. Of course, they're all great, but one of my favorites, that is Hebrews 11, to really be an encouragement chapter, a great, great encouragement chapter to show that what we're doing is not for nothing, the life we're living is not for nothing, and that all of it will... Well, we're not the only ones that suffered in this way. That people in the past suffered like that. People in the Old and the New Testament suffered like maybe we are now. So the question, Psalm 77, 7 through 10. Let's go back to our psalm. 7 through 10 now. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? So now the psalmist is asking whether or not God would cast off His people. Of course, everything that's really listed here, like in verse 8, has His mercy ceased forever, the exact opposite of what God is. He's rich in mercy. He's really unlimited in mercy until, you know, he's saying that judgment needs to happen or He's going to give justice. But He's rich in mercy. He's rich in all these different traits. But of course, he's asking if God and all His infinite mercy can actually cease, if His promises can fail. Did God forget His grace? That's the psalmist's questions. Of course, he didn't forget these things. But in this time of distress, what do you start to do? You start to question God. You start to say, God, where are You? Why are You not helping me? God, I'm going through this time of trouble. Why are You not here right now? Well, He's right there. But you know what? What you're thinking is best for you, and what you're thinking you need to be, you know, taken care of or healed with right now, or the family member you got needs to be healed with right now, maybe that's not what God wills. Maybe that's not what is the best. And you say, well, how is that not the best to save a life? It's God's will. Who are we to argue with God? Does God know best? Can we trust God? I tell you, I can trust God. I hope you can too. From reading the Scriptures and all the accounts, that's why the Old Testament's there. That's why the New Testament's there. You see, that's why the psalmist is going back in all those Old Testament Scriptures. Looking at all things in the past, like in Deuteronomy. Looking at all those things in the past, like in Exodus, like in Genesis. To be encouraged. To whenever those questions come up of why, you know, what's the point? Where is God right now? So he's encouraged by those things. Of course, God didn't forget any of His grace or anything like that. It's just emotions and human emotions that when we get caught up in those moments, we start to fight with the wrong people, don't we? And the first person that we usually like to fight with is God. Usually. We, you know, whether it's with hands like this or not, we say, God, why are You letting this happen? Why are You letting this happen? And maybe we've gotten to where we don't do that now, but understand that God is always only working to the benefit of His children. That's what Romans 8:28 was trying to tell us. It's what it does tell us. So you got to trust in God. You got to have faith in Him, as Hebrews 11:6 says, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Have faith. And of course, whenever those questions come up, be encouraged by the Scriptures. Remembrances. Psalm 77:11 through 15. Let's read those verses. I will remember the works of the Lord. Well, let's start in verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all Your work and talk of Your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared Your strength among the peoples. You have with Your arm redeemed Your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So now he's gone from distress to question to praising God, to really talking about how amazing God is. And don't we all kind of do that in prayer sometimes? We're distressed and we start questioning God, and then we start saying, God, You're so amazing. You have all this power. You're unlimited. Why don't You just help me? Why don't You just take care of this problem right now, immediately? We humans, we want things done right now. Right now. I'm kind of an impatient person. Or I was. I used to be. Maybe we have some impatient people in here. But we want things done right now. Well, that's not always the best. We may not always understand that. And I'll tell you right now, I don't always understand that. But God understands that. You know, the things that happen in our life, we may not understand it. May never in this life. But you'll understand it after this life. Whenever God takes you to that reward in heaven, in paradise, you will understand. God will take care of you to the end. And even in these things, God's taking care of you in these struggles in life, even when you don't know it. But the psalmist here in 11 through 15, he's calling to remembrance the former deeds and actions of God on behalf of His people. He's being encouraged by those remembrances. He's remembering Israel's history. He's remembering before Israel's history. He's remembering God's mighty works, His miracles, His providential power, that God has control over everything. We often get so caught up in politics, we forget that God is in control of politics. God's in control of the nations. We get so caught up in that and all the nuke, all the, I mean, there's so many nukes on the world, the whole world could be decimated in one day. But we're still here. Must be God. I mean, they've got everything to destroy the world. And it will be God, because God's the one who's supposed to destroy this planet eventually on that judgment day. If all the nukes destroy the world and everybody dies, then, well, that didn't work out. Obviously, that won't happen, though. And it hasn't happened yet since the whole time they've had these nukes. But anyway, it's just an example. Remembrances that God's in control of even these things. Even these things in our day and time, of all the wartime that's going on. Think about the war going on in Ukraine. God's in control of it. The war going on and, you know, might go on between China and Taiwan or whatever. God's in control of it. Between U.S. and China, God's in control of it. He's always in control of everything. So he's remembering these things from the past. This is the point of this psalm, brethren. To remember the history. Remember the history that God has taken care of His people in the past. He's taking care of His people in the present. And He'll take care of His people in the future. That is why this psalm is so encouraging. Because He will always, eternally, take care of His people. So He's calling to remembrance all these things. Brethren, remember your history. Remember your history as humankind, as mankind. Remember your history that God has always taken care of mankind. Always will. So power. He's stressing God's power in the next verses. In Psalm 77, 18 through, or 16 through 19. 16 through 19, if you'd read that with me. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. Your path in the great waters. And your footsteps were not known. Once again, more testament, more stressing to God's power shown on behalf of His people. The psalmist here, he's connecting God's miraculous wonders God has shown in the past over various elements of nature in really a personified type way. Let's go to Deuteronomy. So put your marker there and go to Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. First of all, talk about the redemption in Deuteronomy 4, 7 through 10. We go back to Deuteronomy, in the first chapters of that book, there's a lot of remembrance. There's a lot of recalling that happens. Really, God's intending for Israel to be reminded of their history. And brethren, we need reminders of our history as well, as Christians, as Gentiles. We need reminders of our history, of why we're here, of how we're Christians, of how God takes care of His people all throughout time, in the dispensations of time. So Deuteronomy 4, 7 through 10. Let's read it. For what great nation is there that God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him. Verse 8. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Recalling history there and saying, God near to them is the most powerful thing that, you know, could happen in all the world. That God was so near to this nation. Brethren, do you understand that we are the holy nation today? As God was near to Israel back then, as He was so close with the Red Sea, with the pillar of fire, with the pillar of cloud, as He was so close to Israel back then, as He killed 185,000 to save Hezekiah and the the kingdom of Judah, as he did that, as he was that close to Israel and Judah back then, you understand, as they were the chosen nation then, we're the chosen nation today. We're the chosen nation of Christians. We're chosen. God is that near to us today. We may not see those miracles, those performance things to really prove the messenger and the message, because those things have already happened with Jesus and His apostles and disciples. Those things have happened. Those are eyewitness accounts in the New Testament. But they're also in the Old Testament. And just as God was near to them in Israel, He's near to us. Those are beautiful, beautiful, encouraging thoughts that we can be reminding of ourselves of daily, that our God is with us, that we can remember the power of our God, that He's always following us. We talked about how He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. You couldn't go far down in the ocean. You couldn't go to the bottom of the ocean. God wouldn't be right there. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go to Jupiter or whatever, or Pluto or any other planet out there, or moon or sun, and God wouldn't be there. God will always be there. That's the point. God's power is unlimited. Look at those times in the past and be encouraged. That's the point that this psalmist is making here. Deuteronomy 4, 32 through 40. We'll read a little bit of this. Deuteronomy 4, 32 through 40. For ask now concerning the days which are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for Himself a nation from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Verse 35. To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord Himself is God. There is none other besides Him. Out of heaven He let you hear His voice, that He might instruct you. On earth He showed you His great fire, and you heard His words out of the midst of the fire. We'll continue to read this. This is beautiful. And because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. And He brought you out of Egypt with His presence, with His mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day, and consider it in your hearts, that the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Last verse, verse 40. You shall therefore keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time. Beautiful, beautiful verses in Deuteronomy. That was Deuteronomy 4, 32 through 40. Some of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, I believe, are right there. Apply that as a Christian today. That's the same God. Do you understand that? The same God. Near to them. Just as near as He is to Christians today, to us sitting in this auditorium. He's just as close to us today. He would do all those things for us now if it was His will. He would do all those things. He's just as close to us. That's the point. So, remembrances of His former deeds, of His redemption, of His people, of His power over all things. Of course, we have Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, read it for you real quick. Talking about God's level of power and understanding is vast beyond humanity's. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 says, "Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Verse 29, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength." So, you see what I'm doing tonight, or this afternoon? I got to get used to that. All of these verses from the Old Testament are encouraging. That's what the psalmist is doing here. That's what this song is about. It's about encouraging the Christian. In a time of distress, in a time of need, look at the Bible. Look at all these scriptures that help encourage you and strengthen you and help you to know that God is right with you. I can't believe there's Christians out there who don't believe that God is right with you, that forget that. Yeah, I'm guilty of that too. Yeah, I'm guilty of forgetting God's always there for me too. We all are. But we got to try to remember that God is always with us, no matter what happens. As long as we're His children, He provides, He takes care of us. How much more important are we than animals and plants? God's always there for us. Remember that. Remember the power of God in these things as well. So the conclusion, the last thing in this Psalm 77, in verse 20. Psalm 77, verse 20 says, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Asaph, recalling even the times of Moses and Aaron back in Exodus. Recalling those times in Leviticus. Recalling those times in Numbers. How God was leading those people like a flock by the pillar of cloud, by the pillar of fire. If I had the time, we'd go into those things, but I don't. But it was a beautiful thing back then that this psalmist can look at, that we can look at today as we have those scriptures. Let's read a couple verses from the New Testament, and then we're going to be done tonight, this afternoon. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Can it be tonight? We'll just say tonight. 1 Peter 5:7. We all know this one. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We know Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good to those who are called children of God." It's translated in different ways. But Philippians 4:6-7, another great encouraging verse we can look at. What I'm doing here is I'm showing you that there's not just verses in the Old Testament that encourage us. There's also verses in the New Testament. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Talk about Jesus. Remember our high priest lesson a couple Sundays ago? How Jesus is our high priest. He takes care of us. Beautiful things that we can remind ourselves of, maybe even daily. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," truly it's hard to understand at times, "will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." More beautiful verses. Pray every time you're in those times of distress and those times of need. A lot of these psalms were not just sung, but they were prayed. They were prayed. So another thing you can do is, as you might sing in times of distress, you can also pray in times of distress. You can do both those things. So there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of get through those times, maybe even with worship acts to God. All these things that remind us. Luke 1:37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Luke 1:37. A short verse, but a beautiful, beautiful one. Nothing will be impossible with God. Lessons learned here. Lessons learned for the end of this lesson tonight. When sincere men are conscious of the fact that God has departed from their souls because of sin, they refuse to be comforted. We looked at that in the beginning of this psalm. Maybe because of sin. And we've all been through this, but get that comfort. Repent. If you have sin in your life tonight, get rid of that sin. Don't think that you don't deserve repentance, that you don't deserve mercy or grace, any of those things we've talked about. Don't think you don't deserve those things. Get that forgiveness tonight. Get that comfort tonight. Do that now. Why are you waiting? Everybody is able to do that. God's grace has been extended in such a way. But 1 John 1:9, of course, for that one. Only God can bring peace, joy, and comfort to the soul. I could say many more things, but brethren, you understand the point. You understand the points tonight, so I'll leave it with you. The lesson is yours. If you have any needs tonight at all, I hope this lesson has encouraged you very much, and I hope it will encourage you for this week ahead. I hope you all have great, beautiful, wonderful days coming ahead every single day. This is a great week for you. Please do come back every chance you get. I know some of our visitors already left, but I appreciate this afternoon service and seeing so many people here tonight. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you all for being here. It lifts my heart. And I just I always look forward to meeting together with the saints. I hope you truly know that. I love you all. So, if there's any need tonight, any need from Christians, prayers for a family member, prayers for yourself, please do let us pray with you tonight and help you. If there's any non-Christians here tonight who would like to be, of course, added to the church, added to the kingdom of God, you have to believe Jesus is the Christ. If you believe that, make that confession with your mouth before everyone here tonight. Be willing to repent of your sins, be baptized into this water we got it right here for remission of your sins, and to be added to the kingdom of God. And of course, remain faithful until death, and you will receive the crown of life. Do these things, and you will, of course, be taken care of by God forever, as we talked about this afternoon. There, I got it. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus, I come to you.